I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Microsoft. We're going to be talking today about how companies can use artificial intelligence and advanced cloud technologies to better understand the mountains of data that they're sitting on. And to do that, I'm very pleased now to welcome Johannes Karnes, Enterprise and Cloud Business Group Lead at Microsoft South Africa, to the podcast. Johannes, I believe your friends and colleagues call you JK. Welcome, and thanks for talking to Tech Central today.
Hi, Duncan. Yes, thanks so much. Looking forward to having chat with you.
Pleasure. I believe there's a funny backstory actually as to why you're called JK. It's got something to do with Americans not being able to pronounce your name, if I recall correctly.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I was fortunate enough to have a scholarship to go study in the U.S. And upon arrival in the U.S., the Americans struggled to pronounce Johannes. So within a couple of days, I was Christian JK, and it stuck with me throughout my professional career as well. So.
Funny story. Okay, so some really interesting announcements actually coming out of Microsoft in the last few weeks, and we're going to get into some of those in just a moment, JK. But before we do, I must admit, I hear this term AI bandied about a lot in the IT industry these days. Is it always true that, is it always true AI that we're talking about here? I almost get the feeling that people throw in the term artificial intelligence just to make their product sound better. What does AI really mean in the context of modern business when it comes to extracting useful value from data?
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I think it's a term that gets thrown around a lot, you know, and, you know, from a Microsoft point of view, we really view AI as one of the key building blocks that can help, you know, customers accelerate their capability in organizations. So it's a lot around the platform capability and unlocking some of the real value around speech recognition, vision recognition, and then, you know, with a combination of analytics and machine learning, build some great scenarios, and we'll get into a bit of detail around what some local customers are doing. But it's a very powerful capability that we're definitely seeing a lot of acceleration of in the market locally.
Fantastic. So, let's say I'm a CEO listening to this podcast, probably sitting on the beach at this time of year with just a few days to Christmas, JK. But, let's say I'm listening to this podcast and, I'm hearing about these concepts for the first time, machine learning, or I may have read about them somewhere, but not sure how they really apply to my business here in South Africa. What is the potential impact of using these tools correctly? Or perhaps phrased another way, why should I, as a CEO or a business owner, be paying attention to this?
So, you know, Duncan, I think it's all about, you know, looking at digital transformation, right? And, you know, how about organizations are building next generation capability? And I think technology is only one of the pieces or one of the building blocks, right? Mm-hmm. More importantly, it's about building a data and an AI culture in an organization and taking a leadership team. You know, if I was the CEO, I want to take my leadership team along on this digital transformation journey. So focus about building the right skills, understanding the business and the processes, and then looking to apply technology to drive specific scenarios or solve specific business problems.
So, I mean, people have been using and installing and taking advantage of information technology for at least the last half century, probably dating all the way back to the 1950s, if I remember correctly. It always seems to me, JK, that, you know, companies are installing the latest and greatest, buying the latest solutions, but it always tends to be to keep up. It's almost become a case of a bit of an arms race in the IT sector, because if you're not doing these things, your competition is doing them and is therefore pulling ahead of you. So it's almost become like a situation where if you don't invest, you're going to get left behind. Do you think the same thing applies today in the analytics and machine learning and AI around the around data inside organizations?
Do you know, I do think so, yes. And if I look at, you know, the global situation we faced around the pandemic, we certainly saw that organizations that are quite far down the line in terms of their digital transformation adjusted much easier, you know. And some companies were really scrambling to put some basics in place, you know, to connect employees remotely and get access to systems that traditionally have been on premises. So I do think there is an advantage, you know, to driving the innovation and leading with that. but you know, the people in the process that goes along with the technology is critical for success, right?
Yes.
And when we look at companies that are successful in this, you know, we talk about the digital feedback loop. Mm-hmm. And maybe just to put it in layman's terms, you know, it's about how organizations look at their products, their employees, their customers, and their operations, and constantly gain feedback around those different elements. And then use the data that comes in the feedback to then drive, you know, a different decision making in order to either gain competitive advantage or provide better customer service or even, you know, drive efficiencies in terms of optimization of operation. And that's really at the heart of companies that are doing this well, is they've built a culture around, you know, this digital feedback loop and then, you know, using technology to an advantage to gain the deep insights into, you know, all this information coming.
In practical terms, though, if you get this right, what does it mean for you as a company? What will you be able to do with this in place that you couldn't do yesterday?
Well, I think a couple of things there, right? I think it can certainly help cost savings. I think it can drive much better customer service. It can also help you move much quicker, so get product to market quicker. You know, and by leveraging some of these, you know, cloud scale computing power and automated technologies, it really cuts down on the time to gain insight from the data. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're so excited about our new analytics platform that is at cloud scale, that is built on big data analytics. And we're seeing tremendous uptake since the global launch because, you know, if you look at the IDC and some of the market data in South Africa, the biggest investment is coming in the data space, right? However, having said that, I think the majority of customers are struggling, you know, with building a mature data approach. It's not something you do overnight. So there is some, you know, some hard work that is involved in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Azure, it's Azure Synapse Analytics, right?
Yeah, it's correct. Yeah. It's quite a mouthful.
that became what Microsoft terms generally available, which I think means launched, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe just to put it a bit more simple, I mean, it's really about taking on-premise data warehousing, the traditional data warehousing as we know it,
right?
And, you know, building a cloud solution for that, that literally has limitless scale, right? And then it brings in the power of machine learning, all the different elements to that, and that gives you, you know, great capability. Also, from an integration point of view, you know, seamless integration into development tools, so DevSecOps, as well as then some very nice add-ons. We also announced a preview of what we call Microsoft Purview, which is around compliance and building data catalogs, et cetera. So there's some really exciting innovation that will make it much easier for customers to utilize.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask you, and I guess this leads very nicely into the discussion around Azure Synapse Analytics. I'm just getting that right. That's a problem I'm imagining many companies, not just here in South Africa, but around the world are facing, and that's that they don't have a proper handle on their data. We know how much data is being produced by companies on a daily basis, and it's quite frightening. And it sits across various platforms, of course, often in silos. It's structured data, it's unstructured data, and it's literally all over the place on end users' devices to a data warehouse sitting somewhere within the organization. How do modern AI tools and how do tools like Microsoft Synapse Analytics help companies deal with this data that's sitting all over their organizations? I mean, can they take all of that and throw it into a data lake and Microsoft will sort it out for them? What's involved? Do you have to understand what your data actually looks like and do some work before you can even take advantage of these tools?
Yeah, there's a couple of key things there, right? I think first of all, just around your point in terms of data growth, just from a South African data center point of view in our Azure services, we've seen an explosion in terms of data growth. We've seen, in fact, a 300% growth in data since we opened our data center. So it's been phenomenal to see, you know, how customers are really adopting cloud in the local market. I think the second piece is that you know, as you mentioned, a lot of organizations are sitting with historic legacy data silos. Mm. And that's probably one of the biggest blockers to building a digital feedback loop and really accelerating in terms of digital transformation. You know, we have systems that have come into play, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and then some more recently, and they're all in different silos in the organization, you know, even from HR to finance to different lines of business. So the power of analytics and cloud scale analytics, what that allows you to do is really to pull these different silos into a unified data lake. And then using the power of query and analytics to extract value from that data, right? So it's about putting the data together and then leveraging the technology, you know, to uncover the insights and the value and to make sure that you're putting the right information in the right person's hand at the right time to make the decision that will move the company forward. Yeah.
Okay. So Microsoft will do it all for you, JK.
It'll do a lot for you, but there's still quite a bit that,
of course.
And I think, you know, I can't emphasize enough this concept of building a data culture. You know, I think it's very important, and we're seeing with a lot of our enterprise customers where there are new roles in organizations, you know, chief digital officers, a data scientist department. So data is really at the heart of driving organizations today. And so by building a data culture and embracing the digital transformation journey, it really sets you up for success, you know, with the underlying technology behind that.
Okay. Now, let's say South African, well, there'll be lots of South African companies listening to this podcast, but let's say someone says, well, it sounds like it's something that's going to solve my challenges, my problems. I think it's time for me to investigate Azure Synapse Analytics. Where should they start? What advice would you give to them? What do they need to do first before they even start to migrate their data into this data lake of yours in the cloud?
So there are a couple of things there. I think first of all, it's about, you know, creating a cloud footprint. So it's about, you know, making the right decisions around governance and platform capability and turning on your Azure subscription. And we have a multitude of Microsoft partners that are trained around best practices. So I would definitely advise, you know, a potential customer to get either directly a Microsoft representative or one of our Microsoft partners involved to get the initial setup going. Once you have that set up, then it's really about, you know, turning on the right services and looking at, you know, ultimately what business problems are you trying to solve? So is it that you want to get rid of old on-premises, you know, aging hardware or expiring software? Or is it really about building true next generation, you know, data capability? And I think that kind of paved the way for you. And we've got some great resources around, you know, the what we call the cloud adoption framework and the data adoption framework that gives customers guidance around this and kind of shows them the key steps to take in order to be successful on this journey.
What would you say companies that are getting this right are doing correct at a fundamental level? And allied to that, I believe there are some sectors in South Africa that you believe are doing much better than others in harnessing their data. And I think you specifically mentioned before we started recording that the media, telecoms, and insurance space are getting it right. Why is that?
Correct, yeah. I think there are a couple of factors there. The one is that certain industries are, you know, there's a big level of compete in the industry, right? So those customers are forced, you know, to make some changes in the organizations. If I look at tourism, for example, right, they have had to change the way they do things due to the pandemic. The insurance industry is really driving some great innovation, and we're seeing customers in the insurance industry, you know, build deep data cultures, you know, integrate data as part of their leadership approach. And almost, you know, we talk about, you know, having data as an asset on your balance sheet. That's how important it can be for organization. So I think when it comes to telco, you know, you think how many customers they have, how many subscribers, they really want to use the power of, you know, AI and help make faster decisions in the organization. So it's really empowering these different industries to provide next generation capability and better customer service ultimately.
What about the softer factors, if I can call them that. I mean, we're both keen technologists, I think as technologists, we probably think that software can save everything, can solve everything. But there are often softer factors at play, and one of those is culture within the organization. How much of a factor is an organization's culture in determining the success of a project like this?
I think it's a key contributor, right? I think it's about, you know, building the right approach and building a culture where you're empowering employees, both to give feedback as well as then to you know, create an environment where, you know, employees realize that culture, data culture, is at the heart of driving competitive advantage. If I look at, you know, one of our great customers, Altron, as an example, and you know Mteto Nyati very well, I think that's a great example of where they've built an incredible data culture. And, you know, having made some key decisions in terms of their digital transformation to say, we're not going to build a new data center, we're going to leverage the power of cloud. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were the first customer to put their HR and payroll into Azure a couple of days after we opened our local data center. Okay. And you know, he has really taken that leadership on a journey in terms of driving that mindset in the organization. And I mean, I think the stock price speaks for itself in terms of how the organization is performing today.
Yeah. And of course, Mteto is a former managing director of Microsoft.
He is.
he understands the company's technologies intimately, let's put it that way. So, what do you advise, JK, someone listening to this discussion? Do you start piecemeal? Do you take a division of your company and see what you can do with the data that's sitting in there? Or is this by necessity a big bang thing because you want to throw everything into the data lake?
I think the important thing is to start now. You know, every day that you delay is a day you lose, right? So it's about starting, and it's about, you know, learning quickly, right? And we find that customers that, you know, roll up their sleeves, and you can start with either a small part of the organization, a specific, you know, business unit, or, you know, some of the bigger organizations have said, we first want to build like a data architecture, mm-hmm. Which takes a bit more time. But, you know, the technology is so flexible today. And I mean, if I look at the choices between open source and the Microsoft platform and some of the really great initiatives that we have, like the Open Data Standards Initiative that's being driven globally, the technology is so powerful that even if you make mistakes, you can adjust on the fly for that. And I think that's really the message, is to say, start today, you know, look at the organization in terms of your internal operations, in terms of your customers and what you're trying to achieve there. You know, take a look at your employees and how you empower them and the products and services that you deliver. And what are those insights and the data that you want to collect that can help you make the right decisions around that? And then overlay that with, you know, some of the empowering cloud technologies like Synapse, like Power BI, et cetera, that can help you accelerate that journey. And then bring in the power of AI, you know, to drive, you know, some of the automation and intelligence behind that.
JK, you're very good at setting up the segues for me, because I wanted to ask next about the Open Data Initiative. Now, I've heard of this. In fact, I think I attended a press conference earlier this year with Microsoft and SAP where this was announced, and I think Adobe is a partner in the initiative now as well. What exactly is the Open Data Initiative, and why is it important?
So the Open Data Initiative is really, and the companies you mentioned are the founding members, you know, so between Microsoft, SAP and Adobe, the organization got together and precisely because of the consistent feedback we've all been getting from customers. They're struggling. We have all these silos in the organization. You know, SAP has a certain way of looking at their data, Adobe another, Microsoft a third. And so this platform, it really was created as a platform that will allow a, let's call it a single source, or, you know, to your point, like bring the data together in a data lake where we can remove these silos also between vendors, and really allow, you know, companies and customers to benefit from that and get the true insights from the data. And the SAP one especially is interesting because I'm not sure if you're aware, but you know, SAP uses Microsoft Azure as their platform of choice for their internal SAP capability.
Okay.
And Microsoft's obviously also a big SAP customer. In fact, I think we are the biggest SAP customer on the globe. So our engineering teams are working very closely together, and there's some really exciting enhancements to leverage the power of cloud, not just for your ERP, but in terms of, you know, breaking down those data silos.
That's interesting. What does it technically mean? What's happening in the background in terms of this initiative? Is it a case of making file formats interoperable, or is it much more complicated than that?
So it's a little bit more complicated, and some of it is still, you know, somewhat, let's call it under NDA, as the different members work together.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the membership is also expanding. For example, HP is now involved, and some of the other big powerhouses globally in the IT industry. And I think it's really exciting. It is early days in terms of this, but it's certainly the right direction, you know, for the industry. And I think ultimately it's going to be of huge benefit to customers across the globe.
Before I let you go, JK, I'm interested in, I mean, the Microsoft Azure data centers here in South Africa, how long have they been open now? They opened at the beginning of this year, was it? Or was it last year?
No, actually last year. So in March 8th, next year, it'll be 2 years.
2 years already.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's incredible to see how time has flown by. And we're so proud of the fact of being the first hyperscaler on the continent, obviously. We've had tremendous uptake and just phenomenal growth, you know, across the different Azure services. And what's been surprising, Duncan, is to see, you know, how open source services have exploded. We've seen, you know, things like Cosmos DB and some of the underlying operating systems like SUSE and Ubuntu just explode in growth. I mean, it's just been incredible and really surpassed our expectations, which shows two things. One is that customers are trusting the Microsoft Azure Cloud Platform. And secondly, they love the flexibility of bringing their open source workload and running that in Azure, which is really great.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me that Microsoft is a changed organization to the one it was 10 years ago where Linux was not really welcome to the party. now it's a first-class citizen, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it really speaks to, you know, empowering everyone across the globe, right? And,
yeah.
I mean, Satya Nadella, the CEO, has just brought phenomenal change to the organization, really focusing on making open source a first-class citizen.
Mm.
And, I mean, we joke about it, but I remember, you know, I was around in those days when, you know, Linux was the enemy, and there was
cancel.
No love. And, I mean, it's so great. I was at an open source conference a while back before the lockdown, and it was incredible to see developers come up to us and say, I just love the Azure platform, you know, the GitHub developer capability, and everything that we've brought to the party. So we're really proud of, you know, all the choices we provide customers, both globally as well as in our local data center.
Yeah. I was curious, just before I let you go, to find out how the launch of these data centers here in South Africa has affected the Microsoft South Africa operation, because I imagine you need some different skills in your company now, and your go-to-market strategies probably shifted somewhat to the old style of Microsoft selling solutions into corporate South Africa. Maybe just give us a bit of color around that, how Microsoft South Africa has changed its go-to-market, and how it's providing technical and support services to end users now that the fundamentals of IT have shifted, and now that cloud is for the foremost technology that everyone is looking at in the enterprise market.
Yeah, you know, I think what's so great is that, you know, with the opening of the data centers, we've really empowered, you know, Microsoft Cloud all up, right? So as much as Azure is the underlying platform, and there are hundreds of services available, if I look at Office 365 and M365, you know, as well as our Dynamics business, it's really great that we can run all of these services locally and give customers choice. I think one of the key changes has been really around, because we provide data at rest and data residency in the country, we've seen, you know, very good uptake from public sector customers and FSI customers who obviously due to regulation are required to have their data in country. So I think that's definitely a change that we've made in terms of really focusing on, you know, harnessing the power of the local investment to drive that. the other piece as well is we've been working very closely with our top customers to make sure that all of the services that they require are available. You know, data center build out quite interesting. It's not just that they switch everything on from day one. You know, whether it's Microsoft or Amazon or Google, it's very much a building block approach in terms of bringing services online. So we've worked with, you know, key customers to make sure we get things like the SAP on Azure capability, which is one of our fastest growing workloads locally, into country at the right time to allow customers to start driving that adoption. So there's been a big focus of strategically around, you know, the data center capability. And then from a go-to-market point of view, you know, it's been pivoting around a couple of key areas. The smaller customers, we do see just, you know, sign up online and, you know, just start consuming the services. But for enterprise customers, it is about creating awareness, like the discussion we're having around Azure Synapse, and offering some of the, you know, POC investments and Azure investments to help drive that adoption. But we're very satisfied with the progress and really blown away by the results to date.
Right. I guess the most important question I have left for last, JK, and that is, do you play Microsoft Flight Simulator?
Actually, I don't, but I've got a son that is, you know, he wants to be a pilot someday. Yeah. In fact, Elon Musk is here. He actually wants to fly rockets. But okay. He's got... you know, as soon as the new flight sim came out, you know, we had the copy pre-ordered. Mm-hmm. He loves it, and it's just it's incredible to see how it's changed. I played the old version many years ago.
Right.
And I was just blown away to see, you know, how phenomenal the graphics and the capability is. It's like flying a real plane.
It is amazing, and I'm a huge fan. I've been doing nothing but playing Flight Simulator in my downtime for the last 3 months. But it's amazing what it just shows off, and I think it's one of the reasons Microsoft decided to bring back the Flight Simulator franchise was because it shows off the capabilities of the Azure cloud. I mean, we're sitting at launch. I'm sure it's grown since then, but at launch it was a 2 petabyte. Data set that is streamed to you, and I think the minimum system requirement for the game is a 50 megabit per second internet connection, if I remember correctly, because it's going to stream that huge amount of data to you. So my question after all of this, JK, is when is the Flight Simulator data set going to be available in the local Azure data centers?
that's a personal question that you
have.
I think it's definitely something that we'll be looking at. You know, Xbox and Xbox Live is very popular in South Africa. And with the launch of the new console, you know, already we're seeing some great results. So it's definitely something that I'll put in a special request on your behalf to see if we can get that in earlier.
I'm taking full advantage of this platform to further my personal agenda here, JK. I hope you don't mind, but I'm a massive Flight Simulator fan. I think it's the most amazing product. But it was good. Great to chat to you. We're a couple of days from Christmas. I'm sure I won't chat to you again before then. So, hope you and your family have a fantastic end of year. And also to our listeners, of course, hope you have a great break. Stay safe and we'll chat to you again in the new year. JK Karnes is Enterprise and Cloud Business Group Lead at Microsoft South Africa. Thank you for sharing your insights with Tech Central.
Duncan, thanks so much, and wishing you a great festive season as well, and hopefully some well-deserved rest, and we'll chat to you in the new year.